I wondered for a long time. I thought, well, Lord, the Bible teaches that my sheep know my voice. And I thought, well, how is it? How is it that we know the voice of God? And the Lord spoke back to me and he said, this is what the voice is. Said it's the knowledge of God being revealed to your intellectual being up here. I said, oh God, my sheep know my voice. His voice is a knowledge. It is a revealed knowledge. It is a godly impression. It is a sweet illumination that comes over us. And all of a sudden, we know as he speaks. Somebody would say it just dawned on me. We know. And it's so wonderful as we get acquainted with God day after day and year after year. You know, have you ever stopped to ask yourself if you're really acquainted with God? Are you really acquainted with God? Did you know that you could fast for days and you could pray for days and still not be acquainted with God? That you could go to church regular, you could pay your tithes, you could do everything there is to do. You could read the Bible, but still not be acquainted with God. You could hear it read day after day and still not be acquainted with God. But there's one thing about it. When you get acquainted with God, you'll know about it. You'll know about it. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not sure that a person could really know whether they were ready for heaven or not. I'm not sure whether they would know. There's one thing that I can tell you, beloved friend. If you don't know, you just haven't made it, that's all. If you don't know, then you just haven't got it. Now, somebody would say, well, now, where are you going to find that in the Bible? The Bible teaches that we know that we've passed from death unto life. We know that we have. There's no question about it. We know that we have. So then if you don't know it, then you've never done it. You've never made the crossing. Because if you ever do it, you'll know it. You'll know it. You know, no man could have $1,000 in his pocket and have his hands on it and not know about it. How could he? You can't have Christ in your heart and not know about it. It's like the child that's been carried by the mother. She knows. The world may not know, but she knows. She knows whether he's dead or alive. She knows. Christ within you, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. All right. I want to read a little bit and talk to you tonight. I made a commitment this morning that I'd come back and speak to you, the Lord willing. And I said that if the Lord would allow me to, that we would get into a little revelation concerning death and life. Whereas we have preached and elaborated on these things in the past, said things concerning them, and I had thought tonight that maybe I would kind of slip by and not do it. But Brother Andre, he's got a good memory. I was so pleased in seeing the brother come over and our brother Curly come back down till I decided that was my opportunity, you know. But I thought I'd go ahead and see if I could talk with you just a little bit from the things of God and talk about this wonderful, wonderful thing called Jesus. Now, there's one thing for sure. If there's a gift within the heart of mankind, you can't bring it out on your own. The Bible teaches that no man hath power over the Spirit to retain it at death. At death, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Knowing that it's not by power or by might, but by His Spirit, then we know that we are dependent upon His Spirit if we get into spiritual things. The Bible teaches that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And if we get into the Spirit, then We're going to have to enter in through those gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. God inhabits the praise of His people. So then we're going to have to praise God and worship God, as Paul said, in spirit. In that God is a spirit, we're going to have to become interwoven with Christ by praising Him and worshiping Him with our spirit. To love Him with all of our heart, mind, strength, everything, to put everything that we've got into praise and worship, to love Jesus. And if we get beyond the veil, we can talk about many things. I can talk about the scripture. But if I don't get beyond the veil, I won't be able to bring you revelation. That's why Paul said you need to pray. The writer said pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you don't have the spirit of revelation, then you need to pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For the Bible teaches that He hath revealed these things unto us by His Spirit. So then, knowing that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, knowing that it's never entered into the heart of mankind at any time, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, then we know that these things cannot be reached except they be revealed to us. In that eye cannot find it, ear hath never heard it, and the Bible said that it is abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Therefore, that means that the only way we can get it is that God would reveal it unto us. For He's revealed it unto us by His Spirit, made it revelations unto babes such as are willing to learn. So then, when we think of this, we realize that if we get in beyond the veil, we have to go in through the Spirit. As John, on the Lord's day, get into the Spirit. That is, into the mind of Christ. We have to transcend the gravitational barriers of time, ascend up into the heavens with Him, go into those heavenly places, and then God begins to transmit by use of our brain. You know, let me say this right quick. We've talked on it a time or two, but it might be encouraging or helpful to some of you. Perhaps some of you that are more advanced in the Lord, it might not benefit you a lot because you're looking perhaps for other things in that you've covered that ground already. But for some, it would be beneficial. You know, there's three minds. We have a message here on tape that we preached on the three minds. There's three minds which are life, their lives, or they are a sovereignty. Every mind of a human being is a world of its own. Isn't that right? I say this a lot of times. It might be a springtime morning in my life, and in my mind and in my heart, the birds might be singing, and I might be having a jubilee. But in your world and in your little sovereignty that God has given you, it might be a cloudy day, the lightning might be flashing, and it might be a bad storm. But you know, Jesus is always there. When they were out on the Sea of Galilee and all of the turmoil started, all of a sudden, through their fear, they begin to realize that Jesus was present. They begin to realize Jesus was present. So if you're having a bad day in your world, all you got to do is remember that Jesus is somewhere. Like the song we sang, somewhere, standing somewhere in the shadows. You will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints. So then, there is those three minds that we speak of. One mind is the mind of God, one mind is the mind of man, and the other mind is the mind of Satan. And you can tell the difference if you become acquainted with God. You can tell the difference between these minds, you can differentiate between them, and you can tell the difference. One mind will go in one direction, another mind in another direction, and another mind in another direction. Now then, when we think about the mind of God, We know that that is a mind of peace, joy. That is a mind of love. That is a mind of sacrifice, a mind of willingness to be our brother's servant. That is a mind that's willing to do for others, a mind that esteems others better than itself, a mind that looks on the things of others, a mind that seeks the welfare of its brother rather than its own. We know that's the mind of God because it's pure, it's virtuous, it's holy. And then when we think of the mind of Satan, we know that that is the mind of evil, lust, covetousness, hatred, malice, bitterness, envy, strife, all of these things. We know that that identifies the mind of Satan. And then there is the other mind, which is the mind of man. And that mind, that we recognize it as a mind of necessity. That is, it tells us to wash our face, wash our hands, eat our meals, get up and go to work, lay down and rest. And it's the mind that God has given us, the mind of necessity, as we would say. And God, who created this mind of man, He intended it for one purpose. He made the world and all therein. And He made this mind of man so that it would be relative to the things of creation, so that it could enjoy the things of creation. You know, there's nothing wrong with carnal things if you get them through the filter of the mind of Christ. Did you know that? In the beginning, when God created the world, there was nothing wrong with it. It was a great creation. And God loved it. And we read in the Bible that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem this world. It was God's pleasure that the world or the earth be inhabited. Isn't that right? God so loved it. But you know, it sounds strange because God tells us not to love it. You know, that's strange, isn't it? Now, the Bible said God just loved it. But then He turned right around and He said, now, you don't love it. You don't love it. And that's kind of baffling to us because we say, well, Lord, if you loved it, why is it that you forbid us to love it? But see, God so loved it in its virtuous condition, the way that He had made it in the garden when it was so wonderful. It was a wonderful act of God. And God so loved it in that condition. But then when it fell into the hands of Lucifer or into the hands of Satan, and Satan became the prince of it and he infiltrated it and he contaminated it, God said, you stay away from it. Stay away from it and love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then God gave the warning not to mess with the world unless you run it through the filter of the mind of Christ. And He said, now if you'll just mortify the deeds of the body, do away with it, after a while we'll run it through the filter. And then we'll come back, we'll establish it as the great millennium of God. We'll put it back in that beautiful garden condition. And you can have it every bit for your very own as I intended it to begin with. Now I said all of that to try to say this. That third mind, which is the mind of necessity, was made relative to the things of creation, that we might own and love all things and have all things. And when I say love all things, not to love the world as you would think of loving the world, but the Bible teaches that a wise man's substance is precious in his sight. That is to treasure it in the sense of God's creation and what it was intended for as the joy and benefits to you. Whereas the Bible said that we are not to love these things, we're to place our affection on things above. And we're not to love these things, we're to love God who gave these things. Isn't that right? But we are to be wise as a steward over these things, to use them for the glory of God and to take care of them, not to squander them away like the prodigal did. But we are to be wise in that and use those things for the glory of God. All right? Now, so we see these three minds. They are present. God made that mind of man, and I'm going to read a little scripture in just a few minutes. God made that mind of man to where it would be relative to the creation, in that God is the invisible spirit. God did it so that he himself, as the great mind of purity, righteousness and holiness and godliness and virtue, that is, he as the spirit of life, in that a mind is a spirit and a spirit is a life, that God, the great spirit of life, he made it so that he himself could enter into my body and your body and inhabit these bodies. And God so made it to where when he came into your life, that you would have abundance of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I've come as the Prince of Life. I want to be one with you. God made your spirit relative to the natural creation, that his great spirit, which was relative to the heavenly things, could come into your heart and life and become interwoven with you in a oneness, just like you would put, you know, Clorox in the water and stir it all up together, and it would become one. God intended for this great, wonderful spirit of life to be in you, that inasmuch as this life would be in you, then it would be no longer you, but it would be God. And you would no longer be a man, but you would be a God. Now, I want you to listen just a little tonight. See, here's the thing. God isn't satisfied with you being a man. Oh, no. God's got a greater calling than that for you. Brother, let me tell you something. God has a far greater calling than that. When Lucifer was excommunicated, he sought to get back into the presence of God. He wanted to get back to that high plane of living because he had been excommunicated. He had been put out of the light into the darkness. And so then, envious. I tell you what, let me read a little scripture here and we'll pick up our thoughts. I wanted to complete a thought there and then then I was going to read a little scripture. Kind of lay a little foundation for things. You know, the Holy Spirit is real sensitive, like a dove. He's very sensitive, and the least little thing, and interrupt him. Now, I can read the Bible to you, the natural word. I can read the natural word to you all night long, and you won't interrupt that. But when the spiritual word comes, the Bible said he's a quickening spirit, and God said, my words are spirit. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. It was a spiritual thing. The Bible said the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. See, that was before there was ever scribed to where they could be called scriptures. And so far as the scribing, the scribes had never scribed that down, you know. It had never been put on slate as it was with Moses and the stone. But it was called the scriptures in that God is the word, the spiritual word. And the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. So it's the same way today. You know, the Bible said, you shall all be taught of God. And it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within. And he comes, that same anointing, that same word, that same mind that we speak of. You know, my mind can't do it. My mind, like I said, is a mind of necessity, eating, drinking, sleeping, this kind of thing. But when his mind comes and it touches my mind and becomes interwoven with my mind, he transmits through my mind. And then that's him speaking. Whereas the Bible said, let all the world keep silent then, because God is in his temple. All right, now. Let's read here in Genesis 2 and see if we can get, it's Genesis 2, we'll read just a little bit and then we'll go to Genesis 3 and then we'll talk just a little bit. Maybe I can pick my thoughts back up and complete the thing that the Holy Spirit was saying there. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. All right, now in the third chapter, first verse,
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothe them. All right, now, I want to take just a minute, if you'll bear with me. I hope you'll be patient. And bear with me, because it takes a few minutes to get into the things of God. And I trust that you'll bear with me long enough to convey my thought. You know, Paul, preaching the revelation, it took him all night long. He preached all night long because he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you get into spiritual things, it takes a few minutes to be able to get them over. And ordinarily, I would have just went right on into things and I tarry just a little bit, but if you will, be patient with me now, and listen, and if you will, maybe the Lord will speak to us. He had started to speak into us, because I know his voice, and he had started to speak into us, and if we'll just be patient, he'll speak to us. All right, now, it's not much for Brother Pike to get up here and speak to you. There just ain't much to that, because I'm not a very good spokesman anyway, but I tell you, it is out of this world for God to speak to you. Now, so then, we come here tonight for that purpose, to hear God speak, and they shall all be taught of God. Notice now, as we pick our thoughts up again here to get into the Spirit, to get the Lord to speak. Notice, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve being in the garden, their being in the garden, Eve was subdued by the serpent. Being more subtle than all of the beasts of the field, Lucifer, cunningly having gotten into the beast that was there in the garden, here comes the beast to deceive Eve. And Eve finds herself slipping away from what God had said. Satan can so easily beguile you. And the Bible said that he beguiled her. Notice the things that was said here. The Bible teaches that Satan is the father of the lie. Isn't that right? The first and only lie at that time that had been ever been told, Satan was the one that brought that thing. That was the origin of it right there. God said, Adam and Eve, I have set these trees in the garden. The tree of knowledge, I don't want you to partake of the tree of knowledge. I want you to leave the tree of knowledge alone. Why would God want to do that? Does God condone ignorance? Did God want to keep man ignorant? No. God wanted to keep man alive. God had made a living creature, and God wanted to keep man alive. And so then, in this, God said, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge. For the day that thou partakest of that fruit, thou shalt surely die. But Satan said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. See the lie? See how he exalted himself above God? See why the prophet spoke of him being in the garden as the greatest tree? And yet he lifted himself up above the others? He said, thou shalt not surely die. Isn't that something coming against God? When God said, thou shalt die, Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. But God said, don't eat of it. Now, first of all, why was it that God didn't want him to eat of it? It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But see, the thing is, they did not need to eat of it. There was no reason for them to partake of it. God only placed it there so that man could be a sovereignty, so he wouldn't be a robot just commanded by God, to where he could have a desire, a decision, and a will of his own. That was the purpose of it. They did not need to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because they already knew good. They didn't have to go to that tree to learn about good. They already knew about good. God is the only thing that is good. There is only one thing that they could get from that tree. That was evil. That's why God did not want them to eat of it. He wasn't robbing them of anything. He had not kept them back from any good thing. But the Bible said God would withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him. So then he knew that all they could get was death. And he said, don't eat of that tree. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But God knew that they would do that. When God placed it there, he knew that they would do that. But see, God allowed that because God has a much greater calling for you than just being a man. God made you out of the dust, but God wants you to be much greater than that. See, Satan says, God doth know that the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall come open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That had some truth in it. Did you know that after that they had eaten, then God said they have become as one of us. That's what Lucifer said. They have become as one of us. Now remember, before they eat, they were not as gods. But after that they eat, they become as gods, knowing good and evil. And so then God said, now that they have become as one of us, lest man should put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. That is, we've got to get man out of this garden. If Lucifer or Satan has entered into the heart of mankind, if he can get to the tree of life, Satan will be the prince of this world throughout eternity, and there won't be nothing that I can do. If he ever gets control of the tree of life, get man out of here. Don't let him remain in here any longer, because Lucifer or Satan hath entered into him. He hath been deceived. Don't let him get his hands on the tree of life. And so then the Bible said God placed the flaming cherubs there at the gate, turning every way to keep the tree of life. And even so today, when it speaks of the ministry, it says, I make my ministers a flame of fire. And they stand there at the gateway, Jesus saying, I am the door. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And so then he stands there at the door, and the flaming cherub going to and fro, and you can't get in unless you go in by the door. And unless you pass by those flaming cherubs, for no man can see my face and live. You know, this is one thing we've got to do. If we ever get back in the presence of God, we've got to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus, baptized into his death, having put on Christ, coming to that place to where we can enter into the very presence of God, going through that wonderful doorway called Jesus. He said, I'm the door to the sheep. Going into the presence of God, we see that we have to die. That is, this man of the first birth, the firstborn, he has to die, he has to be smitten, he has to die. For as it is written, the Bible said, the elder shall serve the younger. And so then we have to go through this great, wonderful transition that God has set up. And then we find ourselves back in the presence of God. But friend, remember, God wants you to be his gods. God wants you to be his gods. There was no way that God could reveal to you his great, wonderful attributes of love and kindness, of his goodness. There was no way that you could differentiate between bitter and sweet, darkness and light, cold and heat, good and evil, unless God would subject you to the things that he did. God had to do that. Well, there was no way that God could make you know about his greatness. How could God reveal unto you that he was a healer unless you was a sick person? How could God reveal unto you his compassion and his love and how great that God really is, except you be in the condition to where he could extend that merciful hand saying, thou worm Jacob, I will help thee. How is it that we could ever know our God? And brother, how could we ever be one with God lest we should come to know God? Lest we should be acquainted with that mind? How can I transformate my mind and come into the oneness of the God mind except that I be exposed to it and I come to understand it? There would be no way. There would be no way. So then it was necessary that the creature be made subject to vanity, not willingly, not of himself, but by reason of God, who has subjected the same in hope, even Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then we find, here as he partakes of the forbidden fruit, everything becomes dark. Remember, God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. Isn't that right? Everything became dark all of a sudden. Here Eve went into a darkness, not until Adam had said it was okay. Now you notice this, in the Old Testament the law says that the man must say it's okay. Everything is according to what the law says. That is, if the man annuls the thing by saying the wife is not guilty, God cannot bring the penalty. But if the man okays the thing, then he says, yes, she's guilty, then the law takes its course. Is that right? Here Adam partook of it. And at that point is where the trouble came in. See, I'm glad that our head didn't do us that way. I'm glad that when Jesus came down in this world and he saw my shortcomings, he said, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. Hallelujah. And the law said, so be it, son. Hallelujah. God being kind to me, he let me pass beyond the shadows of death. So then, when we see this, all of a sudden everything went dark. Adam went into darkness, and Eve went into darkness, and God began to walk in the cool of the evening. And as God came by, he said, Adam, where art thou, Adam? And Adam said, I hid myself. And he said, but why? You know, that was the thing. God wanted to know why. God knew why. The Bible said all of his works are known in him from the beginning. But he said, Adam, why art thou hid from me? And he said, Lord, I was afraid But he said, why are you afraid, Adam? He said, Lord, we're naked. Oh, he said, but Adam said, who told you that? Who have you been talking to? Said, you've not partaken of the tree that I told you not to eat of. He said, well, the woman, she took it and she gave it to me. So then, I want you to notice again now. I've said this a number of times and I want you to notice it. Why was that feeling of condemnation, uncleanliness present? They were naked when God made them. God made them and left them naked in the garden. They didn't have any clothing the way that we know clothing. They were already naked. So being naked, that wasn't what done it. That wasn't what brought them to shame. That wasn't what made them ashamed. Being naked wasn't what made them ashamed. Because if that was it, they should have been ashamed from the very start, from the moment that God created them. So that wasn't it. What was it that made them ashamed? When they recognized that they were naked. It was when they knew that they were naked. From the moment of recognition, when they recognized it, when they got knowledge of their nakedness, as long as they did not know what nakedness was, they had no condemnation, brother, sister. They had nothing as a middle wall, a partition to separate them from the purities of God's virtues, the life of God, the virtues of God. They were one with God. They were overshadowed, illuminated by the Shekinah glory of God. Though they did not have eternal life, yet they were abiding within the spirit of eternal life. They had access to eternal life, and as long as they continued within that spirit, they could live eternally. But the devil enticed them and took them out from under that wonderful covering. So then, they said, we are without a covering. God later said, you cover with a covering. But it's not of me. It's not of me. We have a message here called the covering. It is not of me, the covering that you have. Why? Because he covered them with skins. He put them on coats of skin. That's better than some people can do today. They don't even have anything as long as a coat to cover with. But he put them on coats of skin to cover their nakedness. Because lust appeared, shame appeared, and condemnation set in. And they were ashamed. It was the condemnation that had done the work. It was the violation of God's word in that they disbelieved what Jehovah had said. They failed to believe. The Bible teaches the just shall live by faith. And their lifeline had been severed. That faith that connected them with the Holy Spirit, the fountain of life, had been cut in two. And a middle wall of partition, a breach, had come between them and their life. The Bible said when Christ our life appears, so then he is our life. And they were ashamed because they had lost the Shekinah garment or the Shekinah glory or the Shekinah covering of the Almighty God. The illumination was gone and they were ashamed. I want you to know tonight that when you are born again and you receive the great Holy Spirit, and the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you really put on Christ, my brother, you're not ashamed anymore. For the Bible said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So then, it was losing that glorified image that they had. For God said, come and let us make them in our own image. And he called Adam the Son of God. But the name Adam that had to do with dust and clay, he took up when he fell from the garden. But in the garden, he was the illuminated Son of God. That's why when Jesus came, he called him the second man Adam. The image of that great godliness, that Shekinah glory, lifted from Adam. And that great image that God had made man in, he lost it. He lost the image of the Son of God. And today, when you look around, you don't see it. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we don't know what he looks like. We don't know what he's like. But when he comes, we know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So then we see big people and little people. We see older people, younger people. We see children. And we look for the image of God, but it's not there. Why? Because it's been lost. It was lost with Adam. All we see is the image of the beast. Everywhere we look, men remind you of beasts of one kind or another. Because he fell to that beast level. He came down to the blood level and left the spirit level of living. And he came down to that level. This morning when I ministered, you remember what I said about the blood having to be offered up. The only thing that would pacify God in that the blood is the life of the body. And when that beast's body took that life into captivity, God never rests, as we say day or night, until the time of the sacrifice of Jesus, keeping them under sacrifices of bulls and goats, lambs and whatever, representing it until the fullness of time could come. God never rested until that life come back to him. It had been taken into captivity. You know, life in a rat is still life. Isn't that right? The life is not to blame. It's the perversion of the life. It's that instinct of the rat that has taken life into captivity and misusing life. God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. The briar and the wheat all grow from the same water. But see, it's their nature. It's according to their nature. They pervert God's ways. They take life into captivity. And Lucifer, Satan, enters in through human passions of man's five senses. And he takes that life into captivity. Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present, but I can't find how to perform that which is good. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, he said. So then, when we see this, we realize that man has taken God's life. Satan has entered in through the human senses. He has imprisoned that life, and he uses it for his own lust and his own passions. And he uses it for monetary gain. He uses it to exalt the human being rather than Christ. And all of the world becomes exalted in their follies as children at play. But God's image, the church, the true man, the true image of God, it's always abased. It's never exalted. It's never praised. But yet, the writer said, I praise you in a good thing. Let another's lips praise you. In that they glorified God within me, or Christ within me, the writer said. Now then, look at the condition of it. Everything went dark. Everything went dark. What caused the darkness? Intellectual reasoning. Carnal thinking, carnal minded. Now there's nothing wrong with carnal things. Paul said, if I'm sown unto you spiritual, shall I not reap of your carnal? But the only thing, there's nothing spiritual about carnal things. You can have all the carnal things you want, so far as the use of them. But brother, you cannot be carnally minded. If you get those things on your mind instead of God on your mind, whereas the Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. If you get carnally minded, then you're going to die because that's Satan in you. How do you know that? Because the Bible said Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. That's the reason Jesus looked at Peter. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. See, he knew that the devil had entered in because the devil was looking at the things of the flesh. He loves the things of this world. He's the prince of this world. Through the fall, Adam was the prince of it. But Satan took it away from him. And Jesus came and took it away from Satan. So then now Christ is the prince of it. He's the prince of life. God, the Bible said the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. The devil can't give you anything. He's a lying divination. Everything he ever done was a lie. He doesn't own the world. He's lying to you. God has given you all good things, brother, sister. Satan is lying divinations. He hasn't given you anything. What it is, he has entered into the glories of God in the sense of his creation. And he has deceived man, and he has set him up a system. And he's got an antichrist system across the world today. And through the intellectual powers and ability of the tree of knowledge, he is ruling and controlling. He is the one that's the prince, the ruler over the powers that's in the air. I say again, the atomic matter, the electrons of the air, that intricate matter, Satan is the prince over it. That's why there's storms and tornadoes. That's why there's problems. That's why Jesus stepped up on the boat and he said, peace. And the elements stopped their fury. And he said to the waters, be still. And they stopped like a baby. They just settled down to peace. Christ rebuked Satan. He commanded, and then he reproved the others by not use, for, because they did not use their faith. How wonderful it is to have faith. Peter walked on the water. And I say again, that same powerful Peter that was a master that could walk on the water, just within a minute was sinking beneath the water because he wasn't utilizing his ability in God. He was the same powerful Peter. He had the same powerful faith. But he got his eyes off of Jesus. The songwriter said, keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. So then, how beautiful it is to know that the devil hasn't given you anything. And Lucifer quoted the scripture to Jesus verbatim and said, I'll give you all of this. All of this, I'll give it to you. How many know he's a good Bible scholar? He quoted that, said, I'll give you all of this. Why, he didn't have nothing to give him. He lied. And the same way that he deceived the world and took control and become their king by using God's creation through lying divination, the same way he sought to overthrow Jesus. But he couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word spoke back to him. Lucifer said, cast yourself down from here. For thus it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus didn't deny that. He knew that was the word. But he said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Lucifer was defeated. So then, everything got dark. As it got dark, God couldn't find Adam and Eve, and they couldn't find God. They went off into that veil of death, that veil of darkness. Now notice this now. They went off into the veil of death, the veil of darkness, that black hood that they slipped down over the head when the executioner gets ready to cut it off. That same veil that was over the face of Rebecca when she came to Isaac. Remember shamefacedness? We're born in iniquity. That veil of death is over us. The writer said, even in the reading of the Old Testament, that veil that was over Moses' face is still over the hearts or the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away with in Christ? For I will destroy him with the brightness of my coming. And at Calvary, that veil was rent in twain. For the Bible said, God, that is Jesus, made in himself twain. Destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they understood not that he spake of his body. But the Bible said he made within himself both Lord and Christ twain. And when they hang him there at Calvary, the Lord was separated from the Christ as the veil was rent. My, what a beautiful thing it was that God did when he rent the veil in twain. Hallelujah.
So then, this dark veil came down over Eve and Adam. Over Adam, in that Adam was the head. Made effective to the body in the sorrow and torment. You know, the writer said this. He said, speaking of the man and woman, I show you a great mystery. They'll no longer be twain. He said, but we're going to put the thing back together. I wish we had time to preach tonight. Just time to exhort you a little bit. But he said, they're no longer twain. He said, this is the mystery concerning Christ and the church. The man is the head and the woman is the members. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. So then, this great, wonderful thing. God spoke of at Calvary. The veil was rent in twain. I say again, where did this really take place? Back there in the garden. You say, when God took Eve out of Adam, both male and female in Adam, and then the female part was taken out. Was that the rending of the veil? That had to do with it. But brother, sister, the veil wasn't rent until she ate of that tree of knowledge. And then when that dark barrier, that separation, that middle wall of partition came in, it separated Eve from Adam. You say, how did it do it, Brother Pike? Because as long as Eve had one mind, Adam's mind, they were one flesh. She was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And brother, when we get the mind of Christ, it's the same with us today. If we'll get rid of that old mind of the beast that separates us from our husband, the head. If we'll eradicate that thing and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we'll be one with him. And he said, if you walk in me, if my laws are my way, if I can abide within you and you abide within me, you can ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. Hallelujah. What a privilege. My God wanted to make us into God. And they was going to stone him. And he said, for what good work do you stone me? Jesus said, oh no, not for a good work. No, opening the blind eyes, all these things. No, not for that. Why do you then do it? Because you, being a man, you make yourself God. But Jesus said, is it not written that I have called ye gods? And in the Old Testament it's written. He said, you're God, but you shall die like men. Why? Because of the lack of understanding of God. The lack of the great knowledge of Christ. My brother, you don't have to go by the way of the grave. I might say, Brother Pike, you're beside yourself. Paul said, if I am, I am for the sake of Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed. We'll be changed. The Bible said we pass from death unto life. What death? That second death of the soul. We'll never be cut out of the presence of God. My inner spiritual man has been translated into the kingdom of God. But there is even another hope. And that is, the Bible said, Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. And Paul said, the mystery is, ye shall not all sleep. Amen. Hallelujah, ye shall not all sleep. That is, the body can be redeemed as it was with Enoch when he was translated by faith that he should not see death. And I say this again. You say, but Brother Pike, Enoch has to come back and die and repeat these things so you can understand. If Enoch comes back and dies, the scripture is broken. We'll have to throw our Bibles away. Because the Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Somebody say, I love Jesus. How is it that that happened? Moses and Elijah coming back. Yes, they must come back in the tribulation. Why? It wasn't Enoch that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Moses and Elijah. Why? Because Jesus was under the penalty of the law. So was Moses and Elijah. But 430 years before the law ever came, God gave the promise to Abraham by faith, saying, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee, and thy seed shall be innumerable as the stars of heaven in number and as the sands of the seashore. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, when we see the beauty of it, and we realize what God has done, our hearts are raptured and thrilled. We're not all going to have to sleep. My brother, sister, Revelation 10 tells us, that at the sounding of the last trump, said the mysteries of God would be finished, and the original rendering is the secret of God shall be made known or finished. At that great sounding of that great trump, when the last woes were the sound, the last of the three woes was the sound, said when that last one sounds, and sure enough, when he lifted up that trumpet and he sounded, why did the Bible say to lift up your voice like a trumpet? Show my people of their sins. When he lifted up that trumpet and he sounded, that was the voice that screamed out of heaven and said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. I know that we've got the kingdom, for the Bible said Satan would wear out the saints, and then the saints would rise and take the kingdom, and then we'd possess it forever and ever. But, brother, sister, I'm talking about the kingdoms of this world. He said, the kingdoms of this world. And John said, I saw that great earthquake such as never been on the face of the earth before. And it shook the nations until they literally crumbled to the ground. Oh, my. They crumbled down, fell to the ground. He said, so great an earthquake? No, not since the world was. Something is taking place. Something is taking place. It's beyond the veil. And the veil was rent in twain. And the veil was rent in twain. That darkness come over Adam and Eve. What was it? Paul turned my people from darkness to light. Get them away from their intellectual reasoning. Tell them, I said, not to lean to their own understanding. That their understanding has become contaminated through the fall. Take my word. Be therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you can know and prove that which is the good, acceptable will of God. Bring forth good fruits. Good fruits. And everything got dark. And there was Eve and Adam. And there came the separation. And there came the middle wall of partition. There was no more one head. You know anything with the... that's got two heads is a freak, isn't that right? Is a freak. All of a sudden, the body that God had created become a freak. It became two heads. And Paul saw it in the twins when he got the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he saw that fall from the garden. He saw what Cain had done. And John saw it, and John said, he's of that evil one. Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were good. Isn't that right? Why was the good one slain? So it could be atonement for the bad one. That was the only way God could let the wicked keep living. Grace, isn't that right? Hallelujah. Wish we had time to elaborate on it. But here, according to the Bible, according to the greatness of God, this shadow had come. Now listen, we're going to try to hurry along here because I don't want to take too long. Here comes the shadow. What kind of shadow? David tells us what it is. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, your rod and your staff, it's a comfort to me. And I say again, what is that rod and staff? The word and the spirit. Isn't that right? For the Holy Ghost is a comforter. Show them that rod and that staff, the word and the spirit. Where is that valley, this world? Amen. Why does God call it a valley? Because he's looking down from the hilltops of glory. Yes, isn't that right? David said, I'm down here in this valley. And I know the shadow of death is hanging over it. I know Lucifer's between heaven and earth. But I'm not going to fear that evil. I got a rod and a staff. Glory to God, and they're my comfort. Brother, they're my comfort. I want you to know that. The word of God, his spirit, amen. It's such a great consolation to me. And I don't fear that shadow of death. He said, I know that shadow's down there. Now, when we look at it, there come that middle wall of partition. That come between Adam and Eve. What did it signify? That this body being the feminine part and God being the masculine part, that the body had been separated from the spirit. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So then what must be done? What must be done? There is Cain. There is Cain, there is Abel. Abel died. The innocent dying for the wicked. The innocent suffering for the unrighteous. And then there came the replacement of Seth. How beautiful. How beautiful. If we could just go into Revelation. How beautiful. But here it was. The separation. That middle wall of partition. And I brought it out on a message here called the keeping of the ordinances. We don't have time to go into all of it. Of how it happened and what it was for. The law added because of transgression. I say this again. Remember one thing. The law never was given to save anybody. The law was added because of transgression. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Transgression. It was added to show transgression. Transgression was hid. There was no way you could see it. Paul said, I was alive without the law. But he said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. Isn't that right? That's how Enoch got by. There was no law. He was translated before the law. See, where are we today? We've been shut up under the law until the faith of Jesus Christ, which afterwards should be revealed. Now we're over here with this faith of Christ, by which we're sanctified. So then that means we're back where Enoch was. No law. There's no sin. There's no transgression to them that love Jesus. A dead man can't transgress a law. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead unto the law. Dead unto sin. And alive is that one which is alive from the dead unto Christ Jesus. Over here on this side of Calvary, and death is behind us. And I can say, get thee behind me, Satan, because it is behind me. He said, I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven, and I've destroyed him that hath power over death. So that shadow that dropped down there, there came that shadow down. What was it? It was death. Now look at it for just a minute. Was it death? It was death. What brings death? Time. Time is what brings death. I'm 10 years old, I'm 15 years old, I'm 30 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, and give me a coffin and give me a hole in the ground. Oh, come on, folks. God didn't intend nothing like that. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, no, listen for just a minute. We talk about death like it's God's first cousin. God don't have any pleasure in death. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in death. Death is God's enemy. Last one to be conquered. Brother, what we need to do is rise up against death. For the saints shall rise and take the kingdom. The law and the prophets until John, since that time that faith has come. And the kingdom of God is here. And men press their way into the kingdom. And brother, what we need to do is press against our feelings, our frustrations, our fears, our human reasoning. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. David even said to the intent of my heart. So then that veil of death, notice how it fell. Have you ever noticed this? Where did time come from? You know, somebody set up that little old dial on the earth, and they made that little old dial clock. Isn't that right? Man had to figure out some way to program his mind to keep his balance, to keep his sanity, keep his stability. So he saw that sun come up and go down. He thought, what am I going to do? So he set up that little thing. How did he do it? The light and the shadows. The light and the shadows. Where is light? With God. Who is light? God. Not that natural light is the sun out here, but the enlightening of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God is the great light into which no man can approach. God is the great spirit. The Son of God alone dwells in that light. That is the word within the spirit, for my words are spirit. And the light is the life, for he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Light, understanding, comprehension. Paul said, comprehending the height, the depth, the width, the length. For now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even in the heavenly places, he said. This caught me up to the third heaven, Paul said. For I knew a man who was caught up to the third heaven. He saw things that he wasn't supposed to talk about. Isn't that right? So then, this light came down. And this little dial caused the shadow. And they watched that shadow as it moved around that little circle they drawed. And then they took it And they chopped it up into pieces, didn't they? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 12 o'clock. Didn't they? And they put it on around when it went down, the darkness hid behind the hills of the horizon. And they chopped it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, and here comes the morning. The first watch, second watch, and the third watch. Is that right? So then it was all cut up. It was time. From then on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're 1 day old. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and here we go. 2 years old. And man got to counting his life away. Wasn't that what the devil wanted? Just keep on counting now. If you'll be faithful, he said, I'll give you 666 if you keep on. If you'll take everybody in the church now and put them under numerical order, do just like David did. The Bible said when the devil tempted David back there to number Israel, God said, now David, I took you from the sheep cult. You didn't have to stand by strength and the power of arms. Why, you was the majority by yourself when the whole army was defeated. I took you out there and I let you kill the giant. What is this you've done, David? Even though the Bible said God allowed that because Israel sinned against God. He wanted to punish him. He knew what he was doing. But here, it was so beautiful. God let one of them not number all of Benjamin. Isn't that right? That general knew better than that. He done been with David long enough to know something was up. So he didn't number them all. But see, you get the numerical order, and here you go. You got to have a number for the tag, and you got to have a number for the people, and you got to have a number if you get a little piece of meat. They got to weigh it out to your own numbers. Give you a social security number. Isn't that right? When they read your light, you pay the light bill, they got to do it by numbers. All the computer systems, just be faithful now. And that old numbering devil, he'll have you after a while. He's working on you. Just work with him, and after a while, he'll have you. Brother, we don't need to number God's people. You don't know how many's got saved and how many hadn't got saved. Somebody said, well, I've got to send this back to headquarters. We had 10 saved and we had... You don't know nothing about that. Somebody said, well, it shall come to pass that who's ever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They called on the name of the Lord. But what about the scripture where his Bible said it? Not every one that saith the Lord, Lord. But he that doeth the will of God. So you don't know. All right, so then here we are. That shadow falling. What is that shadow? Now look at it for just a few minutes. And I am going to close here. Just bear with us a little bit longer. What is this? The shadow of death. It is the shadow of death. Paul said, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Paul said all of these things concerning Sarah and Abraham were types and shadows. But if those types and those shadows are made known, if the mystery is made known, if the veil of darkness comes off of the minds of the people, that we can see that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, in that the things which do appear was not made by things which do appear, but rather by things which do not appear. All of it, even as the eternal Godhead, is clearly understood by those things and types and shadows, so that we are without excuse. So when we see this veil going away, now I want you to watch it for just a minute. When God said, let there be, he knew that veil was coming. Because, brother, this world consists of nothing but a veil, and that veil is within your heart, and that's all that the world is a lying divination. It's in your heart. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be. But it is. How is it that Jesus rose up out of the dust and said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have, and turn and walk through the wall? How did he do that? He said, well, ain't nothing to it. All you got to do is try it. I got a feeling that you're going to be displeased when you do. He said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean the world is in your heart. And brother, when the world, the Bible said God has set the world in your heart. And when the world has gone out of your heart, and God puts the kingdom of heaven within you. Well, the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you. When that goes into you, you go into another world. Jesus went into that other world, though he was still flesh and bones. And the world wasn't there. It wasn't a barrier anymore. He couldn't bump into a wall. There wasn't any wall. It was all a lying divination. You say, I don't believe that. That's what Jonah said about the belly of the whale. He got rid of that old fish, didn't he? All right. So then, you say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I mean, when God spoke the word, he said, let there be. And there was. But we forget that that same God who was spirit, who was the word. You know, like a man throwing a football from over here and he's fast enough to get over yonder and catch it when he gets there. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, that takes Superman. That's what he was. More than a man. So then the word said, let there be over here in the beginning of the world. All of a sudden down here at Calvary, it intercepted, caught it down here, and the word stood there and swallowed it all up and said, away with it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That same word that spoke the world into existence, into the hearts of men, as Satan put that lying divination in there, the veil came, that intellectual power of reasoning. Took them out of the Shekinah of God in that holy world. God at Calvary intercepted that thing with the word. And that same word today is speaking it out of existence. It's taking every natural thing that there is. And it's unveiling it. And you see that spiritual thing behind it. And the brightness of that wonderful glory of understanding of God is consuming the veil. Consuming the veil. That's why our brother Curly is here. That's why our brother Andre is here. You know that's the truth. I spoke to you concerning them of what they had to do with in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and why that they come at this time. And so then the word is swallowing it up and the veil is disappearing. Because when that veil fell over them, it was the shadow of death. And that little thing that we call time, that little thing that we call time, that little transition of time set in over here, and it began to work its way over here, and year after year, for thousands of years, it's gone, and it's ticked away the life of mankind. And over here, that little thing called time set in, and over here, God intercepted it, and he said, time won't be no more. I won't put up with this no more. You can quit playing games now. Time shall be no more. Why? Because you're not time creatures. You're not beasts. You're not men. But you're gods, and gods cannot die. You can. And he set that foot on the land and that foot on the sea. Revelation 10, he said, there ain't going to be no more time now. No more of that. School's over. School's over. No more of that. The law was a tutor to Calvary, but we ain't going to do that no more. Somebody say amen. Amen. All that's over now. Hallelujah. Doesn't come to the bar mitzvah. Going to let them sons take over because the government's going to be upon their shoulders. And all the world's going to come and kneel before them and know that I've loved them, for I will suddenly appear within my temple. I'm in my temple that all the world keeps silent. And that angel said, time shall be no more. Brother, you can throw your clocks into the ocean. You can do away with your almanacs. Amen. All of your time markers, you can do away with them so far as Christians are concerned. There is no more time. We're not 30 years old and 40 years old and then put in a hole. We are from everlasting to everlasting and before the world ever was. Jesus said, I am. Bone is bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. And that little old thing called the shadow of death that they set up back there, the brightness of his coming, it's doing away with that veil. And that veil of death is being lifted. That old intellectual reasoning, we're getting it out of the way now. Getting it out of the way. And that intellectual system out yonder, that's constrained the people. It's been a government all these years. Now listen, folks, we're more than a church. I want you to hear this. We're more than a church. Somebody said, well, a church, we're more than a church. He said, you are a nation. You are a peculiar people. A nation, a people that's zealous of good works. We got some dignitaries. Glory to God. We got some statesmen. They call them ministers and priests, but we got some. Hallelujah. And we've got a constitution called the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad to hear men like Brother Andre sit up there as a great statesman and say, I won't have it. You can't put no amendments to this, my brother. Glory to God. We're not going to start that insertion and taking out. He said, if you add to it, I'll add the plagues of this book unto you. If you take away from it, I'll take you part out of the book of life. Let her be just like she is. Hallelujah. So then the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Why? Because you're a nation. The government's upon your shoulders. And I made the statement. I said, when Ronald Reagan come in, I said, folks, this brings the end of the world. I said, watch and see now. I said, he represents it. And what did Ronald say? When Ronald gave his speech, he said, I feel like that I'm coming in and the world's going out. He was so right. He was so right. Oh, my brother, what a day that shall be when his face I shall see. When I look upon his face, he that saved me by his grace. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. When I take him by the hand and he leads me to that promised land. What a day that shall be. They tell me there's 32,000 promises in here. That's a whole lot of them. And I made the statement. I said, you're going to find out that science is suddenly going to realize that intellectual reasoning is a bottomless pit. I said, now watch and see. Ever learning, never able to fathom anything. Theorizing things today and untheorizing it tomorrow. Standing on theory while we accept facts, proven facts of the Bible. Isn't that right? Lying divinations. Leading people over there and then can't prove it when they get there. All of a sudden the black hole jumps up out there and everything being pulled into it. What is it? It's the end of the world. How do you know? I say this again. They done gone up from this little ball that's hanging out here in space called the earth. They've done got up there and they seen the ends of it. They look back on it. The end of the world. And voyages going on. Count a billion miles. What is it? When they got to Saturn, I said, okay. I said, that planet has to do with Satan right there. Just watch and see when they get to it. That's when they're going into the wilderness. And what have they said? They made the statement since they reached Saturn. They said, why? Said, this is a bottomless pit. Can't get it all together, somebody said. Trying to get it all together. They won't never get it all together. They won't never get it all together. But brother, we've got it all together. Isn't that right? In Christ Jesus, he put it together for us. I couldn't do it, but he done it. He put it all together for you and me. So then they said it's a bottomless pit. What is it? While they don't know what they're doing out there. There ain't no bottom to that place they got to out there, folks. They say there's billions of galaxies out there with billions and billions of stars in each galaxy. And they done got out there and they can't get back. They don't know what to do. They wouldn't give their mind and spirit to Christ. In that mind I spoke of, they wouldn't make it relative to the Holy Spirit so he could come in and get them. So the devil come in and got them through lying divinations. Turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. To send them strong delusions. And they're out there in that bottomless pit. And all the world went through the tree of knowledge and followed them out there and they can't get back. You say, but I think they can. Why are they on dope if they can? Why are they killing each other? Why are they robbing? Why are they stealing? Why are they going from place to place saying, have you got the answer? Have you got the answer? I got the answer. Amen. What is it? Christ is the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. So then, where are we standing tonight? I tell you what, you don't have to die. The Bible said, why would you die, O Israel? You don't have to die. You don't have to die. Death is God's enemy. Why do you want to befriend God's enemy? Tell me one thing, and I ask this again. What more can I do by dying that I can't do while I'm living? What more can I do? Somebody said, well, on the other side of the grave, what's that got to do with it? Come on now. What's that? Somebody said, well, now if you got on the other side of the grave, Lazarus got on the other side of the grave, what did that have to do with it? That don't mean nothing. He couldn't do no more on that side than he did on the first side. You love Jesus?
Somebody said, well, you got me confused. No, you got you confused. I'm trying to get you out of confusion. What is it? Brother, when you got God, it's just like Jesus when he walked up on the Mount of Transfiguration and appeared in glory. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to die, no more than Enoch did. You say, well, why did he die? So that I wouldn't have to die. I was the one that had to die. He done finished his course. He done followed that trail right on into glory. And then he went and died for me. And he said, now, don't you be coming down here. You go right on into glory. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I died, George, so you wouldn't have to do it. What do you want to do it for? David said, I can't praise him down there in the grave. Oh, brother, when I get down there, I can't say, glory to God, I love you, Jesus. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Amen. Oh, live to God. Don't you want to say glory to God? My, you don't have to die. Hallelujah. Let's believe God. What's one day in 2 years and 70 years got to do with it? That ain't got nothing to do with it. And I'm going to say this and try to close. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what it is, you've used your body up. Where'd you ever get that? Where'd you ever get that? You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about Enoch. 365 years. Still was going strong. Old Methuselah, about 900, was still getting it. You know, that's discrediting God for you to talk about his body, his creation being so poor it can't last but 70 years. Don't you know that's a shame? Where do you get that? You understand what I'm saying? Well, like I said a few days back, somebody said you got to jog and keep in shape. Where'd you get that? I never read where Enoch Methuselah ever jogged, and he stayed in good shape. Some of these fellas jogging around here, they can't even get past the hole. You love Jesus? Glory to God. I tell you, this thing's real, folks. I'm talking about reality now. I'm talking about loving Jesus and living forever. How do you want to live forever? I like living forever. Glory to God. I love to breathe, don't you? I love to feel life. And Jesus said, you can have it, folks, and have it more abundant. I'm the Prince of Life. I came for that purpose. Oh, let's believe. Let's believe. Let's believe. Let's get them people out of the ground out yonder. Let's get them out of the ground. Did you know that it's you that's going to get them out of the ground? Did you know that you walking with God and believing and overcoming death by faith like Enoch did? Did you know that's what's going to bring them people out of the ground out there? And after a while, this mystery is going to be made known, completed, everything. And you're going to have the God knowledge. That will give you the God faith. And the grave can't hold them any longer. It can't hold them any longer. Because the only way that death can hold them is that the living be under the bondage of death through ignorance. Isn't that right? Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Oh, my brother, let's get this thing straight. Let's believe it. And out yonder, that old dad of mine will say, oh, hallelujah, I'm glad to get out of here. That's right. That brother of mine, he'll come out of that grave out there. Hallelujah. All of them. Them little babies and them brothers and sisters and mothers and daddies and the tears are streaming and embracing one another in the glory of God flooding our soul. Oh, my brother, don't you want to get them out of the grave? You say, I can't do that. Jesus did to Lazarus. He called him out of the grave, didn't he? Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Ain't it been so down through the years? You as the body of Christ, are you any less than a prophet? Somebody said, but how was a prophet? Oh, but he said, there's something greater than a prophet. What? John.
Praise God. Amen.
But he said there's something greater than John.
Amen.
Who is that?
Jesus.
The people at Bethlehem. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're right, brother. It is Jesus. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh.
Praise the Lord.
It's the body of God. It's that great, glorious church. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Abraham, all of them. Huh. Let's stand together. This is joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. Hallelujah. Just makes you feel good all over, better than anywhere else. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's so wonderful. We get filled with exhilaration, and that great state of ecstasy overwhelms us.
But you know, when we come down out of the clouds, as we say, it's still real, brother, sister. It's so real. This that you're hearing, it's changing you from glory to glory as His beloved face is unveiled. Transition, this great transition, as your mind is transformed. Adam and Eve fell into the darkness because of the transforming of the mind. God is therefore now transforming the mind back to that celestial state. Isn't that right? It was perversion in the fall. As the mind transformed from light to darkness. But it is conversion from the fall back to light as it's transformed back to light. Remember, Lucifer has transformed himself into an angel of light. Isn't that right? He quoted that scripture to Jesus there on the mount. Did you know that the Word of God is called the Word of Light? And with his polluted mind and his corrupt mind, he quoted that to Jesus. Marvel not now. If the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light, which means that they can do evil and corruption out yonder, get in under that anointing like Saul did when he had murder in his heart to kill David when he went to Ramoth Gilead, and come in there and get in the presence of the great spirit, and they said he prophesied so much they thought he was among the prophets. Isn't that right? What is it? They transform themselves by the renewing of their mind to preach that word of light or speak that word of light. But how is it when there's no light in them? Whereas the Bible says that light in you be darkness, that intellectual reasoning, how great is that darkness? Jesus said, but I tell you something, if your eye be single, that is not double-minded, the eye of your understanding, not double-minded, just have light. Not light today and darkness tomorrow. Not intellectual reasoning today and the mind of Christ tomorrow. Your whole body is going to be full of light if you have that single eye. That single eye. Then, when you think of the goodness of God and the greatness of God and what He's doing, you realize that we're free from the darkness. We're not children of the night, that day should come upon us unaware, for as the snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. You know, we can discern the signs of the time. You know that it's nigh even at the door. When you see all these things come to pass, and so they are coming to pass. Even the earthquake over in Rome, back through the eras of Italy. Another one hit. In the last days, there'd be earthquakes. More than there's ever been before. The end of the world is here. Lucifer is an angel of light. That means he's a religious thing. But the love of the world is in his heart. There's religious bodies out there, hundreds and thousands of them. They are just as religious as Cain was. Offerings, just like Cain did. But brother, the love of the world is in them. They love the things of this world. And the Bible says that the love of the world is in the love of the Father is not there. That's the love of the world. They're interested in the things of the world. Money, convenience, prestige, popularity. All of those things. But the child of God doesn't want that. He's not trying to cut him off a little chunk of the world. He owns the world. Why should he run after something that belongs to him, lock, stock, and barrel? Satan is the squatter. When they run that abstract over there like they did in the Old Testament, they're going to kick him off into all of his people. The squatters, that's our ground. The day of redemption is here. We're going to redeem our inheritance. We're going to take it, get it. God's going to give it to us. Picked up that book, opened them seals. We sang that song, and the day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Isn't that right? Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear, for the day of redemption is here. Hallelujah. All right? So we see, as the songwriter said, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth. Nothing down here is going to be able to stand. Build your hopes on things eternal as you hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's be doers of the word. not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And let's think about this wonderful revelating powers of God. Remember, I say this again, don't let the word rapture deceive you. There is no such word in the Bible. You don't find that. Not rapture. We are changed from glory to glory. I know rapture means caught away. I say this so often. When we say millennium, that means 1,000 when you go back to the Roman numerical order. But brother, that's not biblical terms. You understand what I'm saying? I understand it describes that 1,000 years reign. But see, you can be thrown off trail so easy by intellectual definitions if you're not careful. You got to be careful. Rapture, Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, corruptible to incorruptible, from this terrestrial to that celestial. But oh, brother, sister, there, when that comes, that's too late for anybody. By the time we get over there to get our diploma, nobody can't get in school then. The Bible said when that great covenant of God was revealed, nobody didn't go into that place. John said nobody went in there. There was lightning, thunderings. When the judgments of God started, you can't go in there. When the rain started and the lightning come, nobody couldn't go in that door then. It was too late. Noah done had it closed. So then we're doing it now. He's stealing away the bride, Christ, the mystic head, coming to the mystic church, a spiritual Jew. By the time that Thessalonian change comes and that natural head, which is that natural Jewish, that is, they look on Jesus as a Jew. When that natural head comes to that natural Jew body, over there to show him the nail prints that he got in the house of his friend, it's going to be too late. That's going to be too late. See, that's just that change to reveal what we already are because we've become that through the transition. I say this again in a simplified form to where you can understand better. If I was going to give my wife a Christmas present, I might take days to select that. Prepare that and get exactly what would thrill her heart. And I'd bundle it up and I'd package it up. And like that blood of Christ, I'd put that red ribbon on it. And I'd seal it. And then I'd just lay her away. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. That is the redemption of the body. Don't grieve him. I just lay it away. See, that's what God's doing to your life and spirit. And then comes the day of surprise, the Thessalonian change. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I say, here. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, be careful. Don't wait for some supernatural thing to happen to you that isn't going to happen. God is working with you right now. You're in school right now. You're going through the transition from glory to glory right now. And over there, that's just going to be the springing forth of his masterpiece as he unveils it to the world. God's doing his thing, as the world says, right now. Right now. Let's sing this little song. He does it in secret to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. They'd monopolize off it and make money. You know that's true. Salvation is sent to the poor. The gospel is sent to the world. Come on now. The Bible said, how hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Why is that? Not because God doesn't want him saved. He does. Not his will that any should perish. All should come to repentance. But see, like Abraham said, in his lifetime, he said to the rich man, said, you had your consolation. They've got conveniences. They've got consolation. They've got everything. But the gospel is sent to them so that they can hear the gospel. Let's say it like that. So they can hear the gospel. So that in the day of the judgment, God can say, you heard and wouldn't do. They can't say, well, you didn't tell me. But now when it comes to salvation, salvation is sent to the poor. How is that? Because the rich doesn't have to exercise faith. Therefore, they're found without faith in the day of judgment. But we that have to believe for our daily bread, we learn to develop faith, and that faith saves us. Noah building the ark to the saving of his family. I'm working on a building, the song said. And the writer said, if I was a sinner, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd quit my sinning and I'd work on the building too. The Bible said, you're God's building. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait.
Sing it again now.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew.
I want you to step down to the altar for a minute tonight, will you? Will you do that for me? Don't you love Jesus tonight?
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait.
You know, I see the people coming down. I think about what the song says, when the saints go marching in. What a beautiful sight. They'll come from the east and they'll come from the west. They'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom one day. All of them's going to come together. And Jesus himself shall be the chief speaker. Hallelujah. And we'll magnify him and love him and exalt him. Hallelujah. Crown him with the crown. Set him on the throne of David. Oh, glory to God. What a day that's going to be.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait.
Sing it again, will you?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Run and not be weary. Walk, never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait.
Don't you love him tonight? Let's sing this little chorus, "The Light of the Glory of His Unveiled Face." Let's sing this together. Just a chorus or two, and we're going to let you go.
Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me.
Can you sing it with me now?
Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me.
Now sing it like this.
Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him.
Oh, let thy will be done.
I want to raise that just about a key there, note or two. And I want you to think of what we're saying now. Christ within you, the hope of glory. And I want us to sing it again now. It was a little low, but let's sing again. Can you give us another key phrase?
Oh, let thy will be done, Lord.
Think of it now.
Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son, or it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let thy will be done.
You know, it is a beautiful thought tonight. I look out here and I see people from the Methodist Church, people from the Baptist Church, people from the Assemblies of God, and people from the Church of God. I see people from the Church of Christ, and I see people from the Catholic Church, and I see people from every walk of life. I see businessmen. I see the common worker. I see people with education, college. And I see people that don't even have, you know, have never finished grammar school. And I see people that have been in different things in their life, all walks of life. People that have participated in many different things. And even our brother over here, having been in the world of sports, out there, and I think of it like this. With you and those that we're reaching by television and radio and the printed page, and those that we're reaching by the tent ministries and around the different parts of the nation and the world as we preach the gospel and have preached the gospel, it makes me to know that God hath people in every walk of life. Isn't that right? God hath people in every walk of life. And you know, this is the hour when God is drawing them out. He's drawing them all together now. He's had somebody in the Catholic Church and somebody in the Church of Christ and somebody in the Assemblies. He's had somebody everywhere to keep a little flame. To keep a little flame. But God said, you wouldn't listen at Him, so I'm going to move your candlestick now. That little flame that was the one that kept your church alive, He stayed there and tried to reason with you and you wouldn't listen. I'm going to call Him out now. Put them all together. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring them all together now. Because school is over. I'm going to call them all together now. Out of every walk of life, those that have been out there to be a light among you. I'm not going to let them stay out there because the Bible forbids us to set a light among the dead. He said you cannot set a light among the dead. Those are dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root. You can't set a light out there to them. See, when they come to the knowledge of understanding and they won't accept it, they're dead in God's sight. And you can't put a light by them anymore. As long as they're ignorant, you can go out there and tell them. But brother, you can't put a light by the dead. God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Sing one or two more choruses and then we're going to let you go.
When he reach down his hand for me.
Sing it with me now.
When he reached away down for me, I was lost I was undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Sing it again now.
When my Savior reached down for me.
Sing it like you mean it.
Oh, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, oh, just another touch, Lord, from You to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from You. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and saved my soul.
Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? I want you to lift your hands up and close your eyes now. Hallelujah. Just talk to the Lord for just a minute now while they're playing on the instruments. You know, the Bible teaches that ye should examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. I tell you again, faith cometh by the hearing of the word, children of God. The Bible said in the latter times they will depart from the faith. You know, I say this again. Departing from a denomination, departing from a church organization, departing from those things that man hath built, that's not departing from the faith. Though they would have you to think that, and they would terrorize you and put fear in your heart. But, beloved brother and sister, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. In the latter times, they will not receive the word. Receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save your souls. Departing from the faith is departing from the word. In the last days, they will not hear the word. They will not hear the word. The wicked do not know when good cometh. But you that have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Hear it. To depart from the living word of God is to depart from the faith. When you deny God's word, my brother, you've departed from the faith. And in the last days, they will depart from the faith, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They'll do it. And they'll be turned over to reprobate minds to believe a lie and be damned. God sent them strong delusions. But my brother, you believe the word. You say, how can I know that I'm believing the word? You will practice what you believe. Your heart will compel you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That means he's active accordingly. The child's known by his doings. Whatever you do, that proves what you are. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We're not just to be righteous in spirit, but the Bible said to be holy in body and spirit. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Don't let it stay in there. Let's give our bodies holy and virtuous unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. So yield your members as instruments of righteousness.
Oh, brother and sister, what a moment, what a day, what an hour. The great, wonderful gods of the earth. The gods of the earth. Man die, but gods live on and on. Gods. You say, Brother Pike, are we really gods? A god is something that cannot die. Jesus said, ye shall never come into condemnation. You pass from death unto life. Ye are gods to live on throughout eternity. Oh, brother and sister, let's love Jesus with our heart and life. Let's love Him with our heart and life. Tonight, if thou canst believe, do you believe? Don't let there be found within you an evil heart of unbelief. Canst thou believe? Oh, Lord, I do believe. I do believe, Jesus. I do believe. I do believe. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes for just a moment now. Let's sing this little chorus together while you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Sing like this now. Jesus is here. Two or three gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Do you believe now? Do you believe? Jesus is here. You don't have to die. Thou canst believe. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Translated by faith. Do you have faith tonight? Thou canst believe. You don't have to die. Jesus is here. God's been healing your bodies down through the years, giving you a touch of life to let you know that He can restore, that He can make you pass over the barriers of death and live on forever and ever. If thou canst believe. If thou canst believe. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Brother Lynn to come up tonight. And I want him to pray with you. And I want you to believe, brother, sister. I want you to believe tonight. If you've never believed in your life, I want you to believe tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shall be saved. Thou and thine house. Believe. Believe. If thou canst believe. Sing it one more time now as Lynn comes. Only believe.